today's talk was from the book The Anatomy of Healing Prayer by Ernest Holmes, chapter 4. The title of the chapter is Don't Throw the Baby Out with the Wash Water. And, you know, that's not a very spiritual title, right? You know, it's like we all heard that, you know, that saying. But what did it mean as far as spiritual context? And it was really funny when I went to read the chapter. I was like, oh, I get it. So what Ernest is really talking about is one day Ernest was driving and he had the thought, the overdwelling presence is the indwelling person. God in you as you, God in you as you, I wrote that down wrong. Hold on a minute. Let me find it. God in you as you is you. Right. There is nothing else you can be. You didn't have anything to do with it. You didn't make it. You can't change it. You didn't do anything that was good enough to earn it, and you can't do anything bad enough to destroy it. Ernest said that he always said that at a funeral because it's true. Life is. Life is self-existent. Nothing made God. The fundamental premise of our whole philosophy is that we live in a self-existent universe. Self-sustaining, self-energizing, self-perpetuating, self-knowing, self-acting, and that the entire manifestation of life exists for the delight of the Creator. We are not here to get saved. We are not lost. We are not here to glorify God. He isn't that much out of material. We are here to express that which is, and that which accounts for all of those inward feelings that everyone has, nebulous, incoherent at times, sometimes nearer to the surface than other times, but a steady, persistent back of all things, an urge to live, an urge to sing, an urge to dance, an urge to express and to create. So when I was reading that, it really inspired an aha. Yes, that's how I choose to live. You know, a friend of mine years ago, when I was a teenager, when I first started my earnest spiritual quest, she looked at me one day and she said, "Carrie, what are you searching for?" You know, and she identified me as the classic spiritual seeker at like age 14, right? And I'm like, well, I'm searching for the meaning of life. You know, what beats our heart? What, you know, what's this thing called God? What is this force? What is this thing, right? And she goes, well, have you found it yet? At 14, she asked me, have you found it yet? I said, no, I'll let you know when I do, right? You know, and I'm like, but because of that quest, that urge that Ernest is talking about, I really, you know, wanted to know, and I've been accused of analyzing things too much, right? It's so easy for all of us to get in our logical brain and wanting to know and understand how things work. And I'm the type of person that likes to ask for just the knowing, right? I'm just curious because I want to know how things work, right? Mm-hmm. And Brian always teases me, my boyfriend always teases me, because I'm always asking for the sake of knowing, period, end of story. I just want to know how things work. And I just had to laugh because when Ernest was talking about that, there's this underlying, he's calling God, and in Ernest's terminology, you know, he said that God was this underlying thing, right? It's this underlying force. And very few people understand the meaning of a spiritual universe because they think a spiritual universe is philosophically and a religious theory. They do not know what we are looking at is in the now. It's in the now. Ernest says there is a divine pattern of every cosmic manifestation and individual pattern in our own, which I believe is the result of the sum total belief of the human race and is directly inherited tendencies that we have contributed to it, right and wrongly, wisely or unwisely. But it is necessary when we realize that we are living in a spiritual universe now, a universe which is a perfect God, and that there's perfection, a perfect being right now, and that we experience it right here and right now, and that everything that contradicts it is itself to be contradicted. So what does that mean? What does that mean in plain layman's language? Well, you've all heard the term, the Hindu term, or maybe you haven't, but there's a Hindu term that's called namaste, and you've seen people put their palms in front of their chest and bow, and that means I bow to the divine within you. And Yoda on the Star Wars movie said, may the force be with you. And when I was a young person in Lutheran church, you know, we would turn to each other and say, may peace be with you. Or you see bumper stickers driving around town that say, stay strong and keep the faith. Well, what is that faith that they're speaking of? What is this force? What is this energy, right? And, you know, and even our friends, the scientists, you know, got close and they, you know, tried to find this God particle, you know, they didn't master it, but they're trying to find what's this thing that beats our hearts, right? What's this force? What's this invisible thing that we all know exists, but we can't define it, but we feel it, right? We feel it, right? Friends, again, because I'm such a seeker, I get into these logical debates, right? Because I love to debate, and I will get involved in these conversations with folks logically, debate, and then my logical friends get so frustrated with me when I say, well, what about emotions? What about feelings? Because you wouldn't do something if you didn't have the motivation and a feeling behind it that catapults you to for the decision that took you down the logical road, right? And they always get flustered with me, and there're people laughing here in the room because they know that that decision started with a motivation and a feeling first, right? So that's again what Ernest is talking about. It starts with a feeling, that decision. It starts from a motivation, starts from a decision of what feels good. A feeling is something that comes from within. That is the connection that Ernest just happens to be calling God. Other people call it source, universe, divine, you know, whatever label you put on it, nature, love. We all have our own personal relationship with it, right? The point is, we all have our own personal relationship with it. And whatever you call it, it's the invisible knowing that we all inhabit, the truth of who we are. It never fails us, and it's always there for us at all times, no matter what we're going through. It is our abiding presence. It is always there, watching and waiting to see what we're going to come up with next. Are we going to let our old habits and emotions from the past continue to rule us in this day? Are we going to take ownership of this force and use it into the motivating factor that it is and use it to propel us forward into the life of our dreams? And I bring that up because, you know, I'm older now, I'm a little wiser now, and it becomes so obvious when you can look and at people's lives or you meet somebody and you can really tell that they're stuck in an emotion or they're stuck in a habit. And it's so easy for us to look at other people and say, oh, if they could just get over XYZ, their life would be so much better, right? Or if you could just shake them loose of whatever's got them stuck, you would see that they would be so much happier, right? But for us personally, as an individual, when we're stuck in our stuff, how do we get out of it, right? And so back to the seeker theme, right? The spiritual seeker theme, that I've been a seeker. I've studied a bunch of modalities, a bunch of fun stuff. And one of the first things I learned help with that was meditation, right? You sit in meditation, and one of the first things I was told when I first started to meditate at age 18 was, quiet your mind, right? And quiet your mind, oh my gosh, how do you stop these 10,000 thoughts or whatever it is that our mind naturally does? How do you do that and quiet the mind? So that is just a mess in itself, trying to, you know, figure that out. Talk about, you know, trying to figure things out, that it just doesn't happen. Well, as time went on, I learned that you just sit still and you allow the thoughts to pass through, right? So I meditate as much as I possibly can, and I just love to meditate, and I haven't been meditating as much as I should these days, and because I've let myself get off balance, right? And I've been working a lot of hours, and my self-care schedule has gotten off track. And a few days ago, I woke up and I decided to stay in bed and meditate no matter what, instead of rushing to get up. And I asked for guidance on an emotional issue that was stressing me out at the time. And as I sat and started to meditate on what I thought was stressing me out, I was able to quiet my mind long enough and listen to the answers. And it turns out what I was stressing about was an emotional issue that I would have never been able to understand if I didn't take the time to sit quietly and understand. So, you know, we are human beings, and it's very easy for us to get tied up in routines and logical thinking. But if we take time to go within and connect to the truth of who we are, the God force that Ernest is talking about here, the masters from every religion since the beginning of time and will continue to preach about this, always say the answers are in the silence. There's a beautiful Rumi quote that I love that says, "This silence, this moment, every moment, if it's genuinely inside you, brings you what you need. There's nothing to believe. Only when I stopped believing in myself did I come into this beauty. Sit quietly and listen for a voice that will say, be more silent. Die and be quiet. Quietness is the surest sign that you have died. Your old life was a frantic running from silence. Move outside the tangle of fear thinking and live in silence." Another quote I enjoy is from Mother Teresa. "We need to find God, and he cannot be found in the noise and restlessness. God is the friend of silence. See how nature, trees, flowers, grass grows in silence. See the stars, the moon, the sun, how they move in silence. We need silence to be able to touch souls." And then my favorite Bible quote of all time is, "Be still and know that I am God." That power is in each and every single one of us. Ernest knew it. Jesus knew it. All the great guides, angels, masters, and teachers know it. And people in this room know it. People listening to this know it. But rarely do people actually utilize it. Why don't we use it? For me, when I discovered the main obstacle for me in this recent meditation was some fear, I had to admit that this fear was stopping me from moving forward. And if I know I have to get over this fear in order to succeed, how do I do that? Well, I do not accept that it's as simple as choosing fear or the success. You know, I have to admit to myself, I have to accept that I'm choosing fear over what I want. I don't accept that. Like, it can't be that easy. I want to argue that. I don't want to accept that Miss Know-It-All, who's been studying spiritual truth for however long, it can't be a choice. You can't tell me that's not the spiritual oomph I'm looking for. You can't tell me that it's just a choice. And my logical friends love that answer. Oh my gosh, see, I told you it was a logical answer. It is. It is a logical answer. And that's where it ties in together, right? It is. It's a choice. It's a choice, but there's a feeling behind that choice. Once you accept that fear is blocking you from moving you towards the happiness you want, then you have that power within to change it. And that's really what Ernest was trying to get us to understand. That's really what Jesus and every great spiritual person is trying to get us to understand, is that we have in control in transmuting these emotions, because that power, that force is steady, it's steadfast, it's always there. It's always going to do what we advise it to do. Right? So we're in control, right? We're always in control. So if we're choosing to be motivated and not choose fear, we're choosing to take the action and do this, da 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 da, and choose to transmute those emotions as we go, maybe that's what they were talking about. Let's try that. Okay, what if life is just a game, right? What if it's just a playground down here and we get to prove that to ourselves? Oh my gosh, what if it's soul's playground down here? And what if we're just supposed to figure that out for ourselves? And oh my gosh, what if we're really able to create what we really want to do? And oh my gosh, what if we get to express the fullness of who we are? Our friend Jim was just talking about this gentleman, Elon Musk, who's playing on this earth plane as a playground. He's doing creative, good stuff. If you really tuned in and tapped on to the creative expression of who you are, really fully, 110%, really with no question, imagine what you would do, right? You would constantly be flowing in this endless stream of infinite growth and truth and expansion and knowing that you can do anything and be anything you choose, right? So it's always a choice. You can choose to grow or not. You can, but you're accepted either way, right? You're accepted if you choose not to, and if you're accepted if you choose to do, right? But you don't beat yourself up. You just accept that you have this force within you, and you get to play with it as you choose, right? One teacher I studied named Lester Levinson taught his students to constantly ask themselves when they get stuck in life situations, are you wanting to feel control, safety, approval? And whatever that is, could you let it go, right? If you got stuck in some situation, you just tune in for 3 seconds and ask, are you trying to control it? Are you trying to feel safe? Are you trying to gain approval? Whatever it is, just let it go and get back to your feeling of feeling good and moving on. It's just another way of getting you in touch with habitual feelings or habitual patterns that you've been living so you can be more aware of what you want. Another favorite process of mine is taught by a teacher named Abraham Hicks that primarily focuses on trust. It is called the placemat exercise. You take a piece of paper, you divide it in half. One side you state what you want, the other side you state what your intention is, and you trust that source or the universal manager, this power, this force, will do it for you. You write it, you trust, allow, done, right? It's always A-L-L space W-A-Y-S, always about being present in this moment as much as you possibly can. There's no right and wrong way of living. Only you know what feels best for you. Only you know what this connection is for you. Only you know the connection, the force, God, power, divine source, truth of who and what is right for you. And that's what Ernest's point is. We are all here as God expressing. It is only when we get frustrated and stressed and angry, when we are fighting against what we know to be true, that we should be doing, that we get off track. We get frustrated with ourselves because we know in our heart of hearts that we are not doing what we are meant to be doing. And that's when we start looking at outside in our world and outside in our environment for things and people and places to blame. But if we actually went within and we looked inside of ourselves, we would find the truth and we would do a little bit of soul searching and realize, oh, I'm fighting against my own wishes and my own desires, my own earnest way of being, right? And so when you take the time to tune in, when you take the time to meditate, when you take the time to be silent, or whatever meditation is for you, I have musicians here in the room, that's a form of meditation, whatever it is to get you to still yourself, to go within, just to check in with yourself emotionally, excuse me, and ask yourself, what am I choosing? How am I feeling? It's very important to do that because before you know it, time will slip away and you might not be doing what feels good. And you're always in control of how you think and feel and act in every moment. It's always a choice. Whether you're choosing to stay in bliss or not is always your choice. And it's very important because, you know, that beautiful law of attraction is, you know, like attracts life. likes. So you have to be constantly aware of what energy you're putting out into the world, right? So, you know, I'm someone, and the friends in this room will attest to, that I really try to practice the best of my ability to be very conscious of how I'm feeling in every moment. And when I am feeling disconnected or I'm feeling out of sorts, I do very practical things. You know, I'm like everybody else here. I have a daytime job where I go and I sit at a cubicle all day. And when I'm feeling stressed and disconnected, I feel like I'm really out of sorts, I go into the bathroom stall and I do my little energy meditations and I cleanse my energy. I carry essential oils. I go outside and ground myself to a tree. You know, I mean, I do so many little weird things that people would perceive as quote unquote weird, but it's for what works for me. I drink water. I do all these funny things. And I don't really care what other people think because it works for me and it brings me back to center. And it's very, very funny because another thing that I do constantly is I listen to music that uplifts my vibration. And, you know, sound has been proven that, you know, that releases endorphins and so forth. So, you know, it's just amazing of how, you know, when you start paying attention to what makes you truly feel good and what makes you feel connected to the feeling, this beautiful force, this knowing that is the truth of who you are, you feel inspired. And when you say, okay, if you just open your eyes every morning and say, I want to do what makes me feel inspired today, it might not be what your logical brain tells you is going to inspire you. You might have people, places, and things show up in your day that you had no control over. And it just inspires, you know, just continues synchronicity after synchronicity after synchronicity. And my friends will tell you that nothing makes my heart sing more when I see one or more synchronicities in my day. It just makes my soul sing and I bliss out every single time when I have just one synchronicity. I just love it. I just love it. And the more I open myself up to trust that more things are going to flow easily and effortlessly, they do. And when you prove that self, when you prove it to yourself that you have this control, your attitude matters, how it flows, when you really prove that to yourself and you gain that momentum over and over and over, people and places and things just swoop into your life. It is called law of attraction, but you can call it whatever you want, but you have to prove it to yourself. You have to want to do it for yourself. And if you want to change, you have the power to change. And we can hear so many different flavors and stories and versions of how this can manifest. And many leaders, you know, give so many different flavors of this same story. But I never, ever, ever tire hearing it because it just gets my juices flowing so much I can explode because it makes me so happy because it just feels so good. It feels so good at a cellular level to a galactic level because I know that it's all energy and the flow of this energy is truth. Even though we can't see it, we know it exists and we feel it. And if we ride that feeling, it's infinite, it's expansive, and it's a knowing, and it is the truth. And we can control how we want to feel. We control the frequency, how the vibe of that energy is in our own personal life. We do it locally and we can make it go out globally. So, you know, just expand yourself. Really get in the feeling of how you want to be, how you want to feel, how you want to expand that truth, how you want to love, how you want that love to go out and how you want it to go in. And I mean, it really can be as easy as breathing, but you know, it's up to you if you want it to be that easy and effortless. So that was the point that our blessed Ernest was trying to make when you throw the baby out with the bathwater. So I am so grateful to have shared this talk with you today, and so it is. Thank you.